We'll ask you to just turn into Genesis 25 and verse 23 today. If you need a Bible, they're available in the back. Genesis 25, verse 23. We're talking about the blessing. And we've said that this blessing, though it was given in Genesis, has been a progressive revelation. Begins in Genesis chapter 1. God says, fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. That's a blessing. We need to start speaking like that, believing it. What would bring that same blessing onto you? Well, God told Joshua, He says, the words that I speak unto you shall be in your mouth. How many of you keep God's word in your mouth? That's where you need it. Whatever God says in His word as a promise, whenever He says, you, you can say, hey, that's me, right? Isn't that right? If you read the Bible and you see, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you, you can turn that around and put that word in your mouth and say, I shall ask what I will and it will be done unto me. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I believe that whatever I say shall come to pass. I believe if I speak to a mountain, an obstacle in my life, and don't doubt in my heart, but believe that those things that I say will come to pass, they'll come to pass. You say, well, that sounds like mind over matter. What does dominion mean? I say, what does dominion mean? Dominion means have authority, doesn't it? Have power over. It is mind over matter. The only difference is it's not just because I think. It's because I don't doubt in my heart, but believe those things which I say because He said them first. God said them. It sounds too good to be true. But that's what God is. He's too good to be true. This is a progressive revelation. A revelation that the blessing, when it comes upon one, will make the one blessed a blessing to others. That's what I want more than anything else. I like to be blessed. You like to be blessed? I like the blessing. The blessing's good. But you know, don't ever forget that when you're blessed, it has its purpose to not just bless you, but to bless others around about you. We found out that the blessing has something to do with those with a clean hand, clean hands and a pure heart. The blessing has something to do with that, obedience and purity. The blessing has something to do with the anointing. The Bible says in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like that oil that was put on Aaron's head and ran down through his beard and down to his feet. That's anointing. So the blessing has to do with the anointing. The blessing has to do with me staying in unity. The blessing has to be received. We found out through Abraham that the blessing is received by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The blessing comes upon us because we believe it will. If you believe that you don't receive, guess what? You don't have to worry about it. You won't, right? Or somebody says it like this, I don't believe in this faith healing stuff. Well, don't worry about it. It won't happen to you, right? I don't believe in this prosperity stuff. Well, just relax. You don't have to worry about it. It won't come upon you, right? But the blessing is something that God has given. And we found out last week looking at Esau. Esau was supposed to have a blessing upon him. God knew he wouldn't because God said before he was born, the elder is going to serve the younger. God knew that. But that doesn't mean that God didn't intend the blessing for Esau. In fact, the Bible shows us that when he was born in purity, in innocence, he already had a mantle. Now, I know it looked, and if you read your King James, it almost makes him sound like a little monkey or something because it said he had a hairy mantle all over him. But that's not what that means. It means that there was a glorious covering on this child. But this child made choices. This child turned. And because of that, the Bible says he despised his birthright. Is it possible to despise something so good that God gave? Yes. How do you despise? Often just by neglect. Just by going other ways. You know, I'd hate to ever have anybody say, I despise the Word of God. Because I certainly don't. I love the Word. But you know what? There's times that I neglect it. And you know, that's when we get ourselves into problems. It's possible to despise the blessing, and it's even possible to despise it to the point that the Bible says there was found no place of repentance for Esau. He went too far. He went too far. We found out that Esau was a man of the world. And in Genesis 25:23, God begins to speak this. He says, the Lord said unto Rebekah, two nations or two realms are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. What did he see? He saw that Esau's choices, we say this is by the foreknowledge of God. Did you know prophecy is given by God's foreknowledge? What's another word for foreknowledge? See if any of you have come to this yet. Foreknowledge. God knows in advance. Everybody knows that, right? God knows the beginning from the end. What's another word for foreknowledge?
Prophecy.
Well, that's where prophecy comes from. That's exactly right. There's another word that goes with it too, but prophecy is definitely part of foreknowledge. When you speak what's going to come, speak forth what you see, but there's another word. And oftentimes, this word is one that we have the most trouble to define. Proverbs would maybe be called the book of this. Does anybody know what Proverbs would be the book of?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Wisdom has to do with foreknowledge, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about that? Well, of course. Your wisdom is what guides you and what to do with knowledge, right? Well, if you know in advance, wisdom speaks of future. Always talks of what you would do in the future. And this is what God is speaking here. He's speaking through his wisdom. He's saying that Esau somehow inherited a bad seed. We can't talk about that a whole lot right now, but somehow, through choices that Esau made, he got the bad seed into his life. God had given mankind, through Adam, an empowerment to have dominion. Wasn't that what he said to Adam? Have dominion. Adam sinned, gave that power to have dominion over to Satan. And Satan had it for, 2,000 years, 2,500 years? And then Yeshua came. And Yeshua took back the keys. He took back dominion, didn't he? He took back the dominion. He took back the keys to death and hell, didn't he? That's what Scripture says. So, today as we're looking, we're going to look a little further into this. We're going to remember the God who blessed the younger had a reason for do it, but now we're going to begin to look at the younger one. And what I want you to think about today as we look at this is the question, walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? Now, was Jacob blessed by God? Well, if you read that 23rd verse, you'll see right there that there's a blessing immediately there. The elder shall serve the younger. And you, if you recall the birth, you remember that when Jacob and Esau were born, Esau came out, and Jacob's hand, little baby hand, had hold of his brother's heel. Hanging on, saying, come back in here. But didn't work, did it? But God, nevertheless, had already said, the elder is going to serve the younger. So, As they grew, we saw last week how Jacob began to take the place of the elder. He even cooked the mourner's meal when Abraham died. Most of the wise Bible scholars of old believe that Jacob was cooking a meal because Abraham had died. And that was the pottage or the red beans. This red stuff that Esau saw when he came in. But Esau was so in the flesh, say in the flesh, in the flesh, that all he could see was now. Instant gratification. He was a man of the field. Is that what Scripture says? Man of the field, and he was a hunter. And we discovered as we studied back into Nimrod's life that Nimrod was the first one called a hunter. But Nimrod didn't hunt just animals, he hunted men. He became the first world conqueror. He went out to conquer the world. And as I said, I think I said this last week, many people believe that Nimrod was one of the kings that Abraham drove off. And you say, well, that's just impossible. It happened at different times. Remember, they lived a long time in those days. And Shem, we know, lived to be 600 and was still alive probably in the time Jacob was alive. Abraham definitely was alive. We know that. And we know that when Jacob and Esau were about 15 was when Abraham would have died. But this blessing was given. God already told Rebekah. Now think about it. God told Rebekah. He didn't say it by name, but we can say it by name because we know who the elder and the younger are. Esau is going to serve Jacob. Isn't that what he said? So, as they grow, Esau sells the birthright to Jacob. I want to ask you a question. Was that walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh? Both sides or just one? Was Jacob walking in the flesh? That's not clear, is it? But we do know that Esau was. And we know that by doing this, he made a legal transfer of his right. And therefore, the birthright included the blessing, didn't it? The blessing of Abraham should have come through him. But he sold it. Now, a few years later, nothing particular happened about that, by the way. I mean, they didn't see anything. Why? Because the birthright shows up when? When would the birthright have shown up? Well, it technically would show up when? When Isaac dies, because that's when the heir is apparent. But Isaac, before he died, also was ready to give a blessing. And by the way, you might remember this as you go on in years and you get to that age where you begin to think, you know, maybe my time is drawing near, that I'm supposed to leave this earth. Don't wait until your deathbed. Isaac didn't wait till his deathbed. He was weak. He couldn't see. But he did this earlier. I'm going to say to you, I believe you ought to be putting these blessings out all the time. Speaking the blessings over your children. Speaking them out all the time over your kids. And over others too. We said that this morning. I think over other people. But Isaac tells Esau, now listen, Esau, he says, I love the way you hunt, and I love the animals you bring in, and I love this dish that you make up when you go out and get game. And I want you to go do that and bring that to me so that I can eat and feast, and that'll get me in the mood to bless you. Right? He didn't say get him in the mood, but that's kind of what you think about it, because he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to bring it in and then so I can bless you. Rebekah hears this going on, and she's got this word of God in her mind. What was the word of God to Rebekah? The elder is going to serve the younger. She's got the word of God. Was it the word of God? It wasn't her imagination. It was the word of God in her mind. And how many believe that she probably had mentioned this to Jacob? In fact, if you read the whole story, what do you find out? That Isaac favored Esau and Rebekah favored Jacob. Jacob is known as a man who spent time dwelling in tents. Again, those who understand Oriental custom and word pictures understand that that time dwelling in tents was like dwelling, learning of God. Many people believe that he studied under Shem. Many people believe that he studied under Eber, who was the father of Hebrew, Eber. Now, whether he did or not, we can't say with certainty, but it makes sense that he was taught. We know that one of the things that Abraham established was a school, a teaching. He taught his household. God spoke this over him. I know him that he will teach his children and his children's children after him that they would keep my commands and follow me. And so this was an establishment that happened early that Abraham started. Isaac carried it on. So we can believe that it was still going on and that Jacob was being taught. Now remember, 15 years of age, it's already apparent that Esau is a man of the field. Now what that man of the field means is not just game, but also people, especially female people. He liked the girls. How do I know that? Hebrews said that he was a fornicator and profane. He was sexually immoral, is what that means. And so that's spoken about him after the fact. So we know there are things we know about him that we didn't know when we were reading this story. But she says, listen, your dad's getting ready to make a mistake. Remember now, she had the word of God in her ears. She had heard this. These words were real to her. But dad's getting ready to make a mistake. Now I want you to know that there are different people that teach this different ways. Some say that when she did this, she was right on. I personally believe she blew it. And I think we can at least make you see the reason why I believe that today. I don't know that I can make you believe that, but I don't want to. But I want you to see the reason I believe that. She says to him, you go out first. And you get me some kids, two kids, out of the flock. What are kids? Yes. Little goats. And by the way, you know, for those of you that think game and goats are different, why, they're awful close a lot of times, you know. You get goat meat and it'll taste similar to deer or antelope especially. And she says, you go ahead and do this, bring them to me, and I will make this dish that he likes, but we'll use kids instead of game. And verse 27:10 of Genesis says, thou shalt bring it unto thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now I believe there was a reason she did this. What reason do you think that Rebekah would have done this? Was it to save Isaac from a serious mistake? What was it? How many see that? How many think she was trying to help God out? I believe any time we get over into doing things in the natural, unless the Spirit of the Lord had spoken this to her, you shall go do this and such and so, but it doesn't say that. It never says that. And any time we get over into the natural to try to bring out God's blessing, the promise, that's when we get into trouble. And what she did was doubt. Do you see that? She doubted that God was able, just because he said it, to bring it to pass. She was concerned that Isaac would bless Esau with the blessing meant for Jacob. Can you all see that? Now, what does that tell you that she was thinking if she thought that Jacob could say the words of blessing over Esau that were meant for Jacob? This, what is it? God wouldn't be true to his word, but what does it say about Isaac and the blessing?
She thought that he would prefer Esau and blessing.
And she believed that the blessing was a function of Isaac's natural words. I personally believe that had Esau come in with that, set it before his father, and his father began to try to bless him, I believe he would not, in fact, I'm not so certain that he might not have spoken right then, because I believe he was speaking by the Holy Spirit. I say, I believe he was speaking by the Holy Spirit. That's why the blessing is powerful, people. It isn't that you just want to get your kids around and just say good things to them. That's nice. But you know, let's be prayerful about it. And let's let the Lord speak through us. And let's let Him talk through us. And let's let Him say the things that He wants to say. And the blessing doesn't, remember, it's progressive. It's progressive. It'll keep happening. And you'll keep having words. And you may have things that add to it. And we'll see this later on, that this happens here with Jacob. God adds to it. God speaks more. Now, that was Rebekah. I believe she made a mistake. Now, let's look at Jacob. By the way, he's much older here. He's not 15 anymore. Now, by this time, he's probably up in his late 30s. Okay? She tells Jacob to do this. What is Jacob's answer to her? Verse 12. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now tell me what the motivation of his words were here. Are these words of faith? Is he speaking words of faith? Read it again. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now remember, Esau had a different feel about him. He must have been hairier, right? Because remember what Rebekah did? She took the lamb's kid skins and somehow attached them to Jacob's arm so that when his dad asked to feel him, he could feel the hairy skin. Is Jacob speaking words of faith when he says that? My father, peradventure, will feel me, and it shall seem to him as a deceiver. What's he saying right there? He's saying, I'm coming as a deceiver, and I'm going to be found out. Isn't he? I am deceiving. So is he walking in the flesh, or is he walking in the spirit when he does what his mother says? Help me.
Flesh.
In the flesh. So is he walking in faith, or is he walking in
doubt
and fear? Even in fear. This is what I see coming on to both of them. They're fearful. What is fear? Somebody give me a definition of fear. The absence of faith. Or an exact opposite of faith. If you take the word fear, and we've done this many times, but you take it and plug it into the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Fear comes by hearing and hearing by words that are not God's. Right? The words of the enemy. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things dreaded and the evidence of things not seen. Fear is an opposite. They were fearful, and fear induced them to act in the flesh. Now, I told you that Jacob is so like most of us, you know, because here he is, he's a man who's been studying God's ways, he's been studying God's words, and I believe, have every reason to believe, that Rebekah had shared the prophecy that God had given about Jacob and Esau to Jacob. And she may have said something like this, son, I don't know why, but God has chosen you to be in dominion over your brother. And this, now if this was in the spirit, she'd say, so you have a tremendous responsibility in the spirit. You have a tremendous responsibility to learn the ways of faith, to learn the ways of trusting God, to learn God's teaching and instruction so that you can do this. And I believe that's one of the reasons he spent his time in the tents studying and learning about God. But at any rate, he knows that a curse is apt to be brought upon him if his deception is found out. I say that shows that he's in fear and walking in the flesh. I believe that Rebekah was in fear and walking in the flesh. Does it show any faith at all what they did? What does faith do in a situation like this? One word. You can make it two words if you want to, or give me a series of them. But what would faith do right now?
Confidence.
Trust. And because you're in confidence, because you're in trust, you'd wait. Say wait. You know, sometimes it's hard to wait. Have you ever been in a situation where you'd prayed, but it's hard to wait?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked God for something and you really believed Him and you got up and you said, Amen, Hallelujah, praise God, I believe it, I trust You for it. But then your mind takes over and you begin to think about the course of action you can take to bring things to pass. Well, see, that's what happened to Sarah. They had a promise from God that they would have a son, didn't they? God had told Abraham, you'll have a son. Sarah says, I can't wait any longer. I'm going to have a son the Oriental way, by letting my handmaiden carry the child. And then when it comes time for the birth, she'll sit on my lap. That's what they did, you know. They actually sat back on their lap, and Sarah sat there when the baby was being born from Hagar. Well, that may look good in the flesh, but it doesn't accomplish the same thing as what God said. So what did we have? Again, we had a working over in the flesh to try to accomplish. We see this time after time, people getting over into the flesh to try to bring about something good. Is it possible to want something good so much that you go about getting it the wrong way? Yes. It happens all the time. So the 27th chapter and the 27th verse of Genesis said, He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him. And he said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord God hath blessed. Well, it wasn't. Verse 28, he says, Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven. Where did these words come from? I want you to remember now, these words aren't Isaac's words. These are God's words through Isaac. God give thee the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. That's kind of interesting that at this point in time, she only has one other son, and that's all she ever had until they had grandchildren, right? Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. Now, I believe the blessing was prophetically spoken from God, despite the deception, but I believe the same blessing could have been given him if he waited. I believe the same blessing would have been given him had he waited upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall, what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I believe if you'd have waited. Say wait. Sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes the best action of faith is waiting. Waiting. Sometimes when I look around, I keep thinking, you know, what needs to be done? What's going to change things? And what's going to make things better? And what ministries need to grow to the forefront? And, you know, I you get all these ideas. You ever visit another church and think, we ought to do that? You ever do that? Visit someplace else and see something going on. You say, boy, we ought to get that program going. We ought to do this. We ought to do that. And, of course, that's exactly what's going on throughout Christendom right now. Is people are just going around doing the same thing someone else did. But you know what? When I read the scripture, and by the way, I just love it when God moves. I love to see the moving of the Spirit and all kinds of things happening, and you know, all kinds of dynamic and supernatural and powerful things going on. People falling under the power, and people prophesying and speaking in tongues, and people laying hands on people and they're healed. I hear testimonies of this, and you know, guess what? You can't make those things happen. It takes times and seasons and a certain group of people and a mix of people that are believing God together bring these things about through prayer. But they don't just happen because somebody comes in one day and said, well, this morning we're going to have just totally a supernatural service here. There'll be no preaching. There'll be totally just healing. There'll be just, there'll be prophecies. And that won't happen that way. I've been in those services where somebody tried to make them happen. And that's where wildfire comes from. Say wildfire. Have you ever been in wildfire? I've been around it. I've seen some things happen you wouldn't believe would happen in church. Well, I don't want that. I want what God wants. So how are we going to get it? Wait upon the Lord. Trust Him. Believe only in Him. The blessing was spoken prophetically. Did it show up right away? Here's what God, here's, He said it again. You get the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. People are going to serve you. Nations are going to bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. Your mother's sons are going to bow down to you. And cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be everyone that blesses you. Did that show up right the next day? Begin to happen? No. No. And because of what He had done, it even slowed it down. What did we say about sin and the blessing? Will sin stop the blessing? It'll slow it down. It will be an impedance. It'll keep it from happening quickly. And because of what He did, not only did He get blessed that day, but Jacob also got a lot of pain. Say pain. And suffering. And he got estrangement from his family. And he had a life of living in fear for a time. Did you know that? Jacob walked in a lot of fear. Now, I'll tell you, the world at that time was a place that could be fearful. You went off into different places as a world traveler, you know. Remember how Eliezer went? He went with 10 camels and a bunch of men. But Jacob's now going to be sent away from his family. And here's what came to me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Let's read it out loud together. You ready? Is it up there? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Put verse 8 up. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What did Jacob reap? Well, he got the blessing. The blessing was powerful. The blessing was a gift of God, and it was out without repentance. Do you believe that? God never changes. The blessing was sure to Jacob from the time it was given. But we also know that verse 41 of chapter 27 says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. Are you going to be hated because of the blessing? You could be. But listen, in this particular case, deception is what brought on the hatred. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother. I'll kill him. So what's the remedy? Well, when you start in the flesh, guess what? I say when you start in the flesh, guess what? The remedy sometimes isn't so much fun, is it? When you act in the flesh, sometimes this reaping, what does it say? He shall of the flesh reap corruption. The blessing had been given. It was a great blessing. Christian people are quick to think, well, if I just get saved, you know, then that's all it takes. But I'll tell you what, Christian people are still reaping what they have sown as Christians. Not from the stuff they sowed before they were Christians, and they do, by the way, sow some of that too, but or reap some of that too. But there's Christians still going around walking in the flesh, acting in the flesh. So what was the remedy for all of this? What did God have in store for Jacob? And why? Why in the world would you do? Why didn't God just take care of Esau right then? Well, because Jacob had come about the blessing in the flesh. And he that sows to his flesh will reap corruption. How did it start out? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll also reap. Bible says that Rebekah heard what Esau said about killing her brother, and she says, I got to get him out of here. Now listen to what happened. Here's a mother that loved, she favored this son. She loved him a lot. What she got to do with him? Get out of town. You got to run. You got to go. And in order to bring it about, she did something that actually worked into God's plan. But she went to Isaac and said, you know, I'm really upset about Esau's two wives, these Hittite women, these idolatrous women that he's brought into our house. I'm upset about them and I couldn't stand it if Jacob would take a wife from this land too. And so let's send him to my brother's house and let him find a bride there. Isaac thought that was wise. So Isaac calls Jacob. And the Bible says he blessed him again. And he charged him. This is Genesis 28:1. Isaac called Jacob, blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Now I want you to know they knew about family. I don't know how, you know, they didn't have U.S. mail at that time. Probably had something faster, I don't know. But they had they had the ability to get word back and forth, even though it was a lot of miles. But they knew that there were daughters there. Now, I believe there's a twofold purpose that Jacob's leaving. One of them is just strictly because he was in the flesh. Especially the duration of his stay was because he had been in the flesh. But there's something else going on here. Now, if it had just been, number one reason, to get a bride, he could have gone just like Eliezer did, found the bride and brought her home, right? Which would have put him right into the middle of doing what he was called to do, and that was to carry on the household of Abraham and Isaac. But instead, you know the story, he ended up spending 21 years there, right? 21 years. Now remember, he had been blessed, and this blessing goes on. This blessing goes on. But there's this purpose of him going to get a bride, but what is the other purpose for him being there? What other purpose? He's reaping what he sowed, but is God just saying, okay, punishment?
No.
What's he saying? See, you know, you can get the truth out of some of these things and sometimes miss the message.
Is this the same thing as what happened to Adam and Eve, just a separation from God?
It took them out away from where they were, but what was the purpose?
Prophecy was starting to happen, I think, because he's starting, in those 21 years, he leaves with possession. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Through those 21 years, when it's finally over with, he's leaving with possession. The prophecy is starting to play out.
The blessing is actually always working, right?
Right.
But what does sin do again? It slows down the blessing.
God trying to get an
get him to trust him. What is the biggest thing that people who trust in God will learn?
Not to fear.
Not to fear. I believe it is that we're God's servant. We're going to be a servant. And I think Jacob had a hard task. You know, he was a rich man's son. And when I say rich, listen, we're talking billions in today's economy. I'm not talking a guy that, you know, is just, you know, Ben Cartwright's son. This is not just talking the Ponderosa here. We're talking a man that had accrued tremendous wealth. Remember what we said about Isaac? The king of the Philistines, Abimelech, envied Isaac. The king of a nation envies a rancher. He's got more than the king has. He is extremely wealthy. The Bible says he grew and went forward until he became very great. Now, this is what Jacob and Esau are set to inherit. And Jacob's going to get the double portion of it, or the twice as much portion. We're talking billions. Do you understand that? Abraham was exceedingly rich. Isaac inherited all that Abraham had and continued to grow. And there's no place, they says, anywhere that they lost it. They didn't lose it. They continued to grow. Why? The blessing. The blessing was doing this for them. Now remember, we're talking about men. Men are imperfect. They do things that slow down the blessing, and we especially see it in Jacob. And Jacob's remedy is he has to leave all that he knows, all that he loves. He has to go to a land where he's fearful. And in the middle of the night, as he's going away, well, before we get to that, let's go into the third verse of because the blessing is continued here. 28:3 says, "And God Almighty bless thee." Jacob sends him away with a blessing. And here's the blessing. "God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, multiply, that you may be a multitude of people." Now, what part of Abraham's blessing, or what part of Adam's blessing is left out here? Well, actually none, because you look at the next verse, it talks about the blessing of Abraham. But the only thing that we see different in this one verse, fruitful, multiply, and be a multitude of nations, is dominion. He doesn't show him dominion yet at this time. But he tells him it's coming. He says in the fourth verse, "And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger." That's talking about the land where he's blessing him, "which God gave unto Abraham." So the blessing is continuing. Do you see it progressing? You see it getting more clear? But now we've got 21 years of exile. And it says, "Jacob went out to from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place." Say, a certain place. Now, in the Hebrew text of the Bible, it says, he came to Hamakom. Hamakom. Ha means the. Makom means place. He came to the place. The place. Where did he come to? Well, it tells us in the morning when he gets up, the name of the place was formerly called Luz. He called it Bethel or Beit El, which means what? House of God. He calls it House of God. It is the place which God told the children of Israel about when they came into the land from Egypt. He said, "There will be a day when you'll no longer offer sacrifices at the tabernacle, but you will only come and offer sacrifices at the place where I'll set my name." Now I want you to see this, because there's a change takes place here. When he gets to the place, something happens. something that apparently had not happened before. And this is something I think all of us need to understand. You can study the Word and read the Word and come to a place where you think you know the Word, but then there's also going to be a time when there's going to be a change. Amen? Where God's actually going to take you and fill you with revelation knowledge. And maybe in Jacob's place, in his particular situation here, we might liken it unto his new birth. Because it says that Jacob was in this certain place, the place, and we believe that that place is Mount Moriah. What do you know about Mount Moriah? The place? Who went to Mount Moriah? Somebody went up to Mount Moriah. Who was that? Abraham was told, take Isaac your son and take him to the place of Mount Moriah. I believe it's exactly the same place. What place is it? It's a place known as Mount Zion also. It's a place where Solomon built his temple, where Herod built his temple. It's the same where Herod didn't build his temple. The temple was called Herod's temple. It was a temple for God built by Ezra and Nehemiah. But he's there in this place. And what happened while he was in that place? When the sun was set, he took stones of that place and put them for his pillows. I never have quite figured this out. You know, it's tough enough to lay your head on one stone, but to lay your head on several stones tells me it must not have been pillows like we're thinking about. I think it was a place where he set stones up around him as a place of protection. Possibly from wind, maybe even a place to keep him out of the way from the animals. Set some stones around. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it means, but the only reason the stones are necessary to even talk about is because in the morning, after what happens to him this night, he takes the stones and sets up what? He sets up an altar unto God, a pillar. And he calls this place Bethel, the house of God. And the reason he does is because he has a dream during the night. What's the dream? The ladder. Y'all heard about Jacob's ladder? Well, it wasn't Jacob's ladder, it was God's ladder. Jacob never got on the ladder, did he? It was God's ladder. But angels were on the ladder, coming and going. And angels have a specific part that we kind of miss as we study this account of things. But angels see him off and angels bring him back when he comes back. But he's in the place, and it tells us that after that, and we'll go into this more next week, it tells us that after that, there is a change in Jacob. There's a big change. What is one of the reasons Jacob's going off? Well, we know he's going off to get a bride, but he's going off to learn to be a bondservant that truly trusts God. Amen? Here is the beginning of that in this place, the place where he spends the time. It was a time of testing. Say testing. God loves to test us, doesn't he? Does he? Why does God test us?
To show us what's in us.
To show us what's in us. Not to show him. He knows what's in you. He knows all about you. He knows. That's how he can speak things like he spoke over Joy. He can speak those things because he knows what's in her. He knows what he's put in her. He knows what's available to her. That's why he could also speak what he did over Jacob and Esau. Because he knew what was in them. He also knew what they were going to react to, didn't he? So he goes through a time of tremendous testing. A time of estrangement from his family and his call, which his call is in Israel. His call is in the land of Israel, but it's also from there to be a blessing to the whole earth. And now all of a sudden, here's this guy who is a billionaire's son, if you'll allow me to say that about him. He's a billionaire's son. Who knows what he took with him when he left? He doesn't have 10 camels. He doesn't have one camel. He doesn't have a single little donkey with him. He tells... Not until later, but he tells later what he got to take with him. We read about it over in the 32nd chapter, in the 10th verse. When he's coming back, he says, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, talking to God, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over the Jordan. He had a stick with him. He had a stick. Now, if you know anything about the sticks, it may have been the family stick already. It may have been the family stick, and it may have had the blessings of God engraved upon it. But he went with his staff. Now, I always see him with a backpack. You know, he's got this backpack that's got a bedroll on it. But it must not have been a very good one if he had to use stones for pillows. But that's what he took with him when he left. A billionaire's son. Kind of reminds you of some hippie kids, doesn't it? But you know what the picture is all of us in our wandering, in our allowing the ways of the flesh to rule over us. How many times we estrange ourselves from not just our family, but from the blessing. Was the blessing sure? Absolutely. Did he come upon him right away? No way. Do you know what he became? He became a bond slave to Laban. We're going to look at that next week. We're going to talk about how the blessing was working and what Rosemary was talking about here this morning, that the blessing is working upon him, and we're going to see him come back home. And guess what? That blessing's been working the whole time. But even before it begins to show up in blessing Jacob, we're going to see it blessing those round about him. Did you know that happens? I want to tell you right now that some of you are seeing blessings upon other people because you're near them. Some of you have worked for people, and those people have been blessed because of you. Did you know that? You believe that? I believe it. I believe it. I believe the blessing of the Lord that is upon us causes other people to prosper. And you know what? It's funny how it'll show up in certain ways. You know, there'll be certain people that'll see it. Certain people are going to know it, and they're going to talk about it. And they're going to tell you, there's something going on here. I don't know what it is. I had a man that I worked for in the post office that was he was a Mormon. But man, could he ever detect the blessing in me. And because of that, you know, there was just such a desire on his part to advance me. He wanted to advance me more than I wanted to be advanced, you know, because I knew there was a different call. But that happens sometimes, see. In every place I worked, I saw that happen. I saw that blessing working. Now, I didn't know what was going on at the time. I used to just think I was a big shot. I must be special. But you know what? It's the blessing of the Lord. And I want you all to think about it and watch it. You know, sometimes people don't, you know, that doesn't mean every boss treated me with great kindness. In fact, I had a few Lavans or Labans any of you ever worked for a Laban? We're going to talk about Laban next week where you can really see it. But I want to tell you that periodically through life, you're going to see people that are going to recognize it and they're going to tell you about it. They're going to let you know that something's going on because of you. Amen? Jacob left with not much. He didn't know what was going on, but he knew that he was reaping what? Corruption. And I want to tell you today that, you know, we can keep from that by not getting over into the flesh. Amen? And so here's the reason for this message. In fact, this is the question that I have. We can title this, Are You Walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Who can give me a scripture about walking in the Spirit? If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What did Jacob do? He began to walk over in the flesh because he wanted to see what had been promised in the Spirit happen. But did it help? No, it slowed it down. What's another one about walking in the Spirit? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is the thing God is teaching all of us more than anything else. He's teaching us to be led. And you know, a picture of being led is to be a servant of God, to truly serve Him. Jesus said these words to His disciples because, you know, they began to see kingdom. He began talking to them about the kingdom of God, and He told them even one time, He said, in the resurrection, all of you are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you remember He told them that? And they began to decide among themselves. They said, well, now, wait a second. Which one of us is going to be the greatest? Remember that? Jesus had two ways of teaching them about this. What was the first one?
The children.
He took a little child and set him on his lap. And he said, as many of you as want to be great need to become as this little child. Right? What's that? Trusting. What was the second thing he said? He said, if you would be greatest, you would be what? What? You'll be the servant of all. And so, people, this is, I believe, the teaching that God has. We've talked about it a lot, you know. In fact, I don't know if any of you have been around it, but I've seen places where ministers get treated like royalty. You know, they're set on almost on a throne. In fact, isn't that the way they build churches? You know, they build it up where they've almost these thrones and people sit on platforms and they have an entourage that follows them and takes them here and there. You know, that doesn't fit to me with what Jesus said. So I started talking about this a long time ago, and one of my kids had me a wooden plaque made that it's in my office, and it says servant of all. Servant of all. You say, what's that for? Well, it's not to show off because it's in my office, but it does remind me. And we need to be reminded, if you want to be great in the kingdom, we're going to be servants. We're going to serve one another. Amen? I believe that. So walking in the Spirit, are you? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? You going to cry? No. You're not going to... Well, you might weep a few tears, but you know, repentance doesn't have to take a long time. That's another message that I have, but repentance doesn't have to take a long time. How long does it take you to turn around? And everybody knows you can change your mind faster than that. Right? That's what it is. Turn around and change your mind and turn around. Turn around and go the other way. So if you find that you're not walking in the Spirit, let's purpose today that this is going to be a day of new beginnings. This is going to be a day we've dedicated a baby, and we've all talked about our new birth. Born again into the kingdom of God. Old things passed away and all things becoming new. And Lord, you said we need to be born of the Spirit from above. And so today we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We yield ourselves to walk in the Spirit. We thank you that you have opened our eyes to the truth of Jacob's life, Lord. So many things that he had to learn. And Lord, we thank you that we're going to, because the Scripture says these things were given to us as examples. Lord, we're going to use the example and make sure that we don't walk in fear. Say, I will walk in faith. I will walk in the Spirit. I refuse to be led by the flesh. I refuse to let fear lead me. I renounce fear. I renounce unbelief. I renounce depression. Say no more down days. I'll walk in the Spirit. I will not gratify the desires of my flesh. I am led by the Spirit of God. I will walk as a child of God. I take my place today in the kingdom of God. I will be great in the kingdom, for I will be a servant of all. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God.